I'm just kidding. I've been busy for a while.
Alright. Let's get back into our lesson from last week. Last time, we had a couple of different questions that we were sort of applying to ourselves as Christians, how we can have just a number of different questions to ask ourselves before we decide to do something. I think there's like 10 of these questions. Just to consider, we got through almost half of them, and I'm sure we'll finish them today and kind of get moving on into a direction which I'm excited about, talking about context. So the first question we ask, again, whether it's an activity, whether it's being with friends, hanging out, if it's watching a certain movie, really these questions are sort of broad in application to, again, to our daily living as Christians. But it's kind of in the section where we were talking about expediency. And so how questions to ask ourselves before we try and implement something that might be new, but again, still being authorized within worship. Is it wrong? We talked about this just kind of briefly. 1 John 3 and verse 4. If somebody wants to read that, they ask, is it wrong?
First John 3:4.
Yeah.
Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness.
All right. So, is something that we're about to do, is it going to, in some way, come into conflict with God's word? Is it going to come into conflict with God's law? Again, sin being a transgression of the law, is this something that is going to be considered sinful? Obviously, we want to stay away and not do that. The second question we looked at, is it right? Do we have biblical authority to, again, it's just sort of very general and broad. Is what we're doing, does it fall within the bounds of Scripture? Does Christ give his approval of it? Colossians 1:17 or Colossians 3:17. Abby, do you have that? Colossians 3:17. I think he says, you can correct me. Whatever in manner indeed, do all in the name of the Lord. Just a short paraphrase. Yeah, Colossians 3:17.
Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father.
Excellent. So making sure that, again, what we're doing is not going to be sinful. It's not going to come into conflict with God's word. Also making sure, again, that it's right, that we have authority, that God gives his, or Jesus gives his authority to engage in such an activity, again, whether it be worship or in our daily lives. We kind of really got into the discussion here on these next few questions. Does it set a good example? We kind of talked about how do we set a good example, Trent?
Blake was distracting me. What did you say?
How do we set a good example based on what we kind of discussed last time?
Last week?
Yeah. Why is example important? Here, let me help you out. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14-16.
You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your God, or your Father who is in heaven.
All right. So, again, thinking about setting a good example, letting others sort of see Christ in us, essentially. We kind of discussed about the things that are going on in the world today. And I think this will be a good lesson, a good future lesson, sort of series of lessons, really. I mean, it seems like the world becomes more and more a little bit hostile, and some of the interactions and, again, just some of the different things that are being sort of, I guess, championed in society. And so how as Christians, what is a good way for us to engage with other people? You know, what is the Christian response to Pride Month? What is a way that we can still be loving in Christ and yet still share the truth of the gospel with the others? And I think really, we discussed a little bit, I think I try and you know, I'll make polite conversation with people, but really trying to find people who are maybe searching for something, who are trying to search for more, somebody who would be open and receptive to the gospel, is probably not the person that's, you know, like really hardcore champion homosexuality, and is going to kind of contradict you at every turn if you try and show them what scripture says, but sort of being able to, among friends, among family members, coworkers, even, trying to find people, they can sort of look to you as an example. They know you're a Christian, and again, trying to set a good example in the world. I think a lot of that comes in the way we speak with others. We talked about how you just sort of even mention the Church of Christ, and it's almost like a slammed door based on, this was my grandpa's experience with a member of the Church of Christ 80 years ago, I think is what you said. And so some of the way that I think, you know, there have been years ago, preachers were very much hellfire and brimstone. They stood up for truth, but it's like they preached in such a harsh way, in such a hard way, that's sort of that's the way people see members of the Church of Christ, as you're the only ones going to heaven, hellfire and brimstone, and a number of these different things. And so it's really kind of hindered us today as Christians sort of being able to, I guess, sort of be that light, be that example. It's hindered us in the sense of we sort of have all these connotations sort of strewn together with us now, and yet they don't really get a chance to understand or know who, you know, me as an individual is. They just sort of throw all these Church of Christ mottos or things of the past at me, and so then it kind of shuts a door. Thoughts, comments, maybe some experiences that y'all have had.
There's a lot of girls on my softball team that, you know, they play this house. I play for the other team, but they knew that I didn't like it. They knew like I didn't like that, but I was still nice to them. And so, like, being nice to them, they always ask questions. Well, you don't support it, but why are you nice to me? So I guess it just opened up a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Because, like, I feel like they used to just throw verses at people, but then those people didn't understand the verses.
Right.
So, like, if you're nice to people like that, then it opens up a conversation where you can later on then talk about. Like, it's like baby steps.
Yeah, absolutely. And Abby mentioned last week, she brought up a good point that the tax collectors and sinners were willing to sit and to have conversations with Jesus. And so, like you mentioned, that there is sort of a, we have to, in a sense, we have to be appealing whenever we live out the gospel in our lives. And again, I think there's always this balance of the love of Christ. And then, but again, you know, if they ask you what the truth about what the Bible says, I mean, you also have to tell that to them. And if they reject it, and if it, you know, causes friction in the relationship, you know, we have to accept that is something that might happen. But I don't know. Sometimes I feel like some people, like, and I'm saying you have to stand for the truth, but it's like they do it in such a way that is so, like, hate filled, and it just doesn't, huh?
No, I was agreeing with you.
Yeah. And it's just like,
there's girls on there. used to on my team, they would try to push it on you. Throw it in your face rather than just like, I don't know, they obviously were brought up differently. They thought like, oh, God hates me for how I am. And like, no one's ever told them God still loves you. But like, you can't just let them say they're wrong. So like, their whole life they've been told they're wrong, which they are. It's just, that's where the hate stems from. Like, not making excuses for them, but like, they're reacting because of people not like us. Like people who are trying to tell them, oh, you're going to hell.
Right.
Like, I mean, not making excuses, just saying like,
it's like you can't really blame them for not following Christ when their experiences with people who did follow Christ have been very
Yeah.
And so that was kind of where we left off last time, is sort of striving to have a better, there has to be a better approach, there has to be a better way when having conversations with people and how we share the gospel.
I think it has to be done in a presentable way. Like, you can't come on so strong. I mean, because that's something that we deal with clients. And honestly, when you sit down and you come at them in a presentable way, like a respectful way, you find out that most of those types who are, say, like what they are, they're trying to fulfill a desire that they're not fulfilling. Yeah. So then when you take a step back and you, like, come at it at a presentable way, they're more than willing to listen and open up and talk to you because, I mean, it's, hey, I may not agree with you, but I'm going to respect you.
Right.
And then you find out that it's something else down low, and now they're desiring something because their things are going to get fulfilled by being that way.
Right. Absolutely.
What theories is that?
What
theories is that?
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like a lot of people also do it for attention.
Yeah.
Like they're attention-seeking. Like she said, it's not feeling anything. It's just causing them more pain and hurt.
I kind of noticed this a few years ago, but it almost seems like the more out there in your beliefs and the more out there you are, kind of like, I guess, on the sexual spectrum, is almost like the more like cool you are. Like, it sometimes even like, yeah, this whole conversation, it sometimes it becomes like a cool factor, and the more like specific you are about, you know, I mean, they're like, I never even heard of like pansexual before, like a few years ago. And it's like having like, you have to like love the person that you're attracted to and like have to have feelings for them. And I'm just kind of like, why does that have to be like a special class of anything? It's just like, anyway.
It's like a trend now.
Yeah.
It's like a thing to do. And it's like, I mean, just being a teacher, like it's like lower grade levels it's starting.
Yeah.
Like younger and younger and younger and younger. And it's just crazy.
Right. So the last question that we kind of ended on was number four, talking about setting a good example. Is my example, does it lead others to Christ? And again, as we talked about, if our message is sort of you're wrong, what you're doing is sinful, you're going to hell for it, why would anyone want to follow Christ with that kind of a message? Others to Christ. Again, we have to share the truth. We have to be honest with them whenever they approach us and ask us about it. But again, we have to have a better approach. And I can't remember the passage now, but Paul was talking about how we persuade men, we persuade people with the gospel. And that's, I think, an art that we've sort of failed in for years now, whether it's because in the worship assembly we've relied on elders and teachers and preachers to kind of go out and evangelize for us, or whether it's, you know, again, just the approach has made things more difficult when trying to evangelize today. So would it lead others? Yeah,
it's because people aren't persuaded by harsh words.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what we've been saying, what we've kind of leaned on too much.
We don't live in the hard, tough world like that. The
Great Depression people lived in.
That they lived in. Yeah, I mean that message was more effective then, but we don't really live in that kind of world today.
A lot of people are sensitive.
Yeah.
It's more of a sensitive world.
And you can't scream.
No, we're not.
Okay.
And every individual only wants to hear what they want to hear. whether it's the truth or not,
yep.
they only want to hear what they think is right.
When, like, when some of these people have, like, negative experiences with Christians, it's like, those Christians are telling them not to do this, not to do that. Like, if you tell me not to do something, I'm going to do it. You know?
Right.
And so, like, when you have, like, the nice, engaging, positive conversations with these people, they are interested because you're not telling them not to do something. You're being nice and creating a positive experience that makes them curious about the gospel at that point because you're not screaming at them telling them hateful stuff.
Right, and really, when Paul summarizes the gospel in, I think it was 1 Corinthians 15:1, he talks about how Christ died for sins, was buried, and raised on the third day. We need to tell more about people, more about Jesus, what he has done, about, you know, sin and salvation. But it's more than just do this, don't do this. It's about this is what God has done. You know, there is a Father who loves you, who doesn't want your soul lost for eternity. Here's who Jesus is. This is what Jesus has done. And yet, if we just sort of jump to the end of, all right, do this, don't do this, you can't do this, da-da-da-da, we're, like, completely skipping out on, like, the gospel. And we're not preaching Jesus. And we also discussed last week how many people sort of claim to know God and claim to know Jesus. Oh, he's accepting of this. He would be okay with this. He doesn't say anything about this in the scriptures. And then trying to get them to understand and to realize, again, you could talk about Christ and through his sacrifice, and then kind of point out other passages. So if the Bible says this, you know, why wouldn't you want to follow Jesus, who you claim to know, if, you know, he might not explicitly say anything about homosexuality, but he says everything about marriage in Matthew 19. And therefore, as we talked about in biblical silence, marriage, one man, one woman, you don't have to say not two men, not two women, not, you know, transgender. I mean, God said what he said, and silence prohibits in that regard. What does 1 Corinthians 11:1 say? Paul believed in bringing others to Christ through example.
The worst thing that I've experienced is, like, when you say that, some people will be like, well, it doesn't say that. And I'm just like, I don't know how to tell you that. It doesn't matter.
Right.
That's the worst conversation I've ever had with people, because it's like, well, he didn't say I couldn't do it.
He doesn't say we don't need to follow the devil.
Yeah.
Which is
conversations like that too. Like, it doesn't specifically say do not smoke marijuana either, but I know not to do that. Like, it's
people are just
yeah.
so fine.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, like, get to people who think that. Which is a lot of, like, what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, and if that conversation comes up, use the example we kind of used several weeks ago in class. Whenever you go to a restaurant and you order off the menu, you tell the waiter what you want. You don't have to go through and tell them everything that you don't want. Now, in the case of drugs, and you have to kind of tie together some other passages and principles to kind of look at and
right.
explain that to them. But yeah,
I'm just talking
because
about when they go into specifics. Like,
oh,
it
yeah.
doesn't specific, because I've had people say that. Well, it doesn't
yeah.
specifically say not to do that. I'm like, well, it doesn't specifically say not to do a lot of things.
Right.
And you have to go by.
If that's how the Bible was written, we would, like,
we couldn't read it all.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We could not read it all.
Marijuana leaves back in Israel.
It's like the climate was, like, awful for making it. It's like it wouldn't work.
I'm sorry.
Clearly it doesn't say that.
No, that's good.
I'm just saying, like why would somebody say, like, I'm sure people have said that.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, well, clearly, like, I don't think they had wheat and barley back then for, you know, some IPAs. But,
right. Yeah, well, and that's hopefully, that'll be kind of some of the things that we can, hope that we can study together, because as we talk about context, part of that will be historical context and sort of understanding, and my understanding so far has been that the alcohol that they would have had isn't nearly as, like, strong or nearly as distilled as the alcohol and stuff that we have today, but like I said, that'll be, like, a future, just kind of topical let's look at history and look at some of these different things that I hope that we get to look into.
Well, it's crazy how, like, nitpicking people are about the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, what does it say that, like, okay, well, here's the other 66 chapters or books in the Bible, you know, like, I don't know, they read too in depth on, like, one single verse and not the rest of it.
Yeah.
That's because they want it to fit their situation.
Right.
So that it makes them feel good about what they're doing.
It's all about interpretation.
And that's why we have this class, so that we can help, it can help us interpret the Bible correctly, and that we can hopefully share these principles with others. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says what?
Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ.
Absolutely. So again, Paul believed in leading by example. He believed in living that kind of life. He said, man, I mean, you just think about the powerful words. Could I say, as an individual, follow Hayden as I follow Christ? Follow Trent as I follow Christ? Follow Blake as I follow? Could I get to the point where I say that? And it's humbling to try and strive, again, to want to lead others to Christ, lead them by example. Fifthly, would it cause a stumbling block for others? What's a stumbling block?
Block that causes them to stumble.
Is that the Webster's Dictionary definition? What's
this thing? What's he say? Something that causes them to not either continue on with their walk in Christ or not pursue that.
Right, sir.
Because if they see you.
Yeah, if they see you doing that, hey, well, she did it. It's okay for me. And perhaps that puts all of us in a state, not all of us, myself and that other person who's looking to me as an example, it can put us in a state where, you know, if we continue on in that practice, if we're not, you know, if we go out of the saving grace of God, it could cause, we have to be careful too, because again, we can cause other, we don't want to cause our brothers and sisters in Christ to stumble in any regard.
It's a circumstance that causes difficulty or hesitation.
Difficulty or hesitation. That's a good. Which, what was that from, Webster's?
Google.
Okay. I'm just glad that they didn't use stumbling block in the definition. Sometimes it's crazy. But something, you know, making sure that we're participating in something, or, you know, again, being an example to somebody else, that it's not going to cause them to stumble in their faith. Again, we're all trying to encourage one another to grow in our faith, to grow in faithfulness to God. And there might be some practice or something that we do that causes them to perhaps depart and to leave from the faith, to leave from truth. And of course, we would just never want to do that. Romans chapter 14:13. What does Romans 14:13 say?
Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in a brother's way.
How are you there already?
Because I was thinking of that chapter.
Oh, wow. I kind of blew my mind too.
No, I'm fine with it. I was going to bring it up.
And what were you going to say about it?
It's just like the whole point of this chapter is like something may be considered a sin to someone else, but you may not think of it. And I can't really think of an example, but if you know that causes a person to stumble, but you do it blatantly in front of them anyway, because it's not a sin, the Bible doesn't say it's a sin. That's, I mean, you're causing them to stumble.
Right.
It's just thinking of other people more highly than yourself.
Right. And sometimes, you know, sometimes there might be something that might be authorized that, hey, it's okay for us to do this. But if other people are going to think, I don't like the way that we're going in this direction, perhaps they need to be taught, you know, that's where we need to reach out and to teach them, Again, making sure that that practice is authorized to discuss with them why this is okay before we just sort of implement it, and then everybody's, you know, it's a teaching opportunity to let them know. Ooh, here's a good one. Number six. Is it seeking the kingdom first? Matthew 6:33. What does Matthew 6:33 say?
But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
All right. And in the context of that, what is he talking about?
He's saying that this morning.
Right. Yes, we did. Matthew 6, towards the end there, he's talking about how many people are worried about what they'll eat, how they'll dress. Jesus is like, don't worry about these things. Focus first on the kingdom. Focus first on the church doing our duty as Christians, and the rest will fall into place. God is going to take care of us. We're far more valuable than the birds of the air, which God provides for. They're able to eat. They're able to do all the necessary functions for birds to keep them alive. But to make sure that we are seeking first the kingdom, growing the kingdom, again, by our example, by the way we evangelize, going out into the world, seeking to always be pleasing to God and to help in ministry, help teach a Bible class, help, again, bring souls to Christ, seeking kingdom business first and foremost, and making sure that we can be helpful to the church as well as be able to function in our daily lives.
Well, I think too, also, like you said, in your daily lives with society, yes, but also like making sure that is what you're seeking first, because all of these other things, especially in 2021, there's so many things that can get in the way.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people tend to put those above their relationship with God. And I mean, I think of my own kids, and we have this argument about electronics all the time because they just want to be on electronics.
Yeah.
But they also know that we do a Devo every day, and it's getting them to think that all of these things that this is just your daily life, and you get up and this is what you do, but that's, you're putting this above what you really should be putting first. And again, in today's world, it's easy, I think, to want to prioritize things above what we should be.
There's so many distractions.
Yeah. We live in a highly distracted world. People are on their phones whenever they drive.
Sometimes I think it's hard, though, because we have to function and live everyday life. So I think it's hard because, I mean, yeah, you should always put them first and seek them first. But to also function in everyday life, I mean, I think it's a challenge to,
yeah.
I mean, because if you don't live, then...
Well, should we function with him in our lives?
Yes, I mean, no doubt. But I'm just saying, like, I think it's a challenge. I mean,
Well, and I think, too, especially if... hopefully, like what you're doing with your kids and training them from a young age to try and think about, you know, whenever I get up in the morning, whenever I go about trying to put Christ into everything that you do, trying to think about, I know it's kind of cliche, and it's something on Wednesday nights whenever we're on our way home, watching the sun go down and seeing Dallas like in the horizon, and it's just like the beauty of nature, and thinking about, man, God created all of this, and like this is such a beautiful image, and I get to enjoy this because God made it so.
They think I'm weird because I do that anyway.
Look at that beautiful tree back there.
But no, and I know it's not realistic. Like I try to tell them all the time. Like, think of how much time you've spent doing this today, and think about how much time you've spent you know, reading the Bible or saying God's word. I mean, I'm not asking you to, you know, sit with your Bible for 10 hours a day, you know, but to just get in the mindset of, I haven't given any time to that, and I need to.
It takes time and priority and focus. And Brooke, like you said, it definitely, especially because it doesn't seem like, I don't know, it doesn't seem like a natural, I think sometimes whenever I realize that I've sort of been living life rather than focusing on God, it sort of seems like there's something missing. And it's like, oh, wait, I haven't prayed in a while. Oh, wait, I've kind of been distracted whenever I've been reading my Bible. I need to, like, set off parameters and block off some, like, really good study time. So absolutely, it's difficult, and especially the world we live in is very distracting, and there's our cell phone is always in our hand or in our pocket. It's easy to get distracted, but working on training ourselves to seek that time is, you know, it's going to be a different challenge for all of us, and but being able to do it, and it's such a rewarding time.
Well, it is too. Or I'm sorry, talking about, but it is. I think when you get into the habit of doing that too, it's like you can feel it when you don't.
Yeah.
Because I can honestly say that I was not in the habit. I mean, during the school year, I'm a teacher. Like, I get up and we hit the ground running, and I'm whatever, but. In the summer, I've been teaching summer school, and so I get up and I sit on the patio, and the very first thing I do, and when I don't, like if I miss it, it's almost like I can feel it throughout the day.
Yeah.
But I've had to get into that routine.
And I also think it's more than like reading the Bible, though. Like, our lives are so busy, I feel like it's better to think, oh, am I doing this for God, or am I doing this for myself? Like, whether it be like you're in schooling, like if you do it solely for yourself, you're going to fail. Like, if you have a great, like, you've got a greater purpose, like, with God in mind, He's going to take care of you, whether it, like, He takes you out of that, like, whether it be, like, for me, it'll be nursing school. If He leaves me and I'm successful in that, great, that's all the glory to Him, but if not, then that's not my path that He chose for me. Like, I think it's definitely more than, oh, opening the book, because, like, also, if you don't know what you're reading, and if you're not grateful for what He's doing in your life, then it's meaningless.
Absolutely. And I think that's an important thing too, is sometimes it's not so much that we can get stuck in Bible reading and okay, I got three chapters that I need to read today. Are you just reading those chapters, or you can really take three verses and really like stew, meditate, journal on it. And, you know, you might cover more of the Bible in a shorter amount of time than reading those three chapters, but those three verses could impact you and could come into, you never know, it could come into play in your life later on where it's like, oh, wait, I read those three verses. I need to respond this way to whatever's going on. And so taking time to really dig in deep, it's hugely important. And again, we have to just work all that more, the much more harder to make it a part of our everyday life and our everyday living. So,
and I think, you know, like we're saying, like technology is a distraction. At the same time, you can use it in your own advantage or God. And I feel like we don't realize that much. Like if you get confused, you can easily just Google.
Set a reminder.
Or yeah, like set a reminder. You could just Google like, hey, a summary over these three verses. Mm-hmm. And you can just go through like the different dialogue that people are having about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like technology, like with teaching this past year, like I've only been teaching for 2 years, so I don't really know, but like when I was in high school, we never used technology. And then this past year with COVID, it allowed us to start to integrate more technology to the classrooms. Like, we should be doing that.
Yeah.
I feel like you can reach more people in today than technology. You can just like go on, me definitely go on the street face to face is important, but like, social media, as bad as it is, like, you could do some good.
I think it's just like a lot of things. It can be used, it depends on how you use it. You have to use it in the right way.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can be a positive class.